Welcome to the Love and Light Live podcast, empowering crystal lovers and spiritual entrepreneurs to learn and experience the art of crystal healing. Get ready to listen in and join our crystal movement. Hello, and thank you so much for joining me for the Love and Light Live podcast, brought to you by loveandlightschool.com. I'm your host, Ashley Levy, and this podcast is the number one place for all things healing crystals. In today's show, we will explore a little bit about crystals for travel, and I'm really excited about today's show because I'll actually have an interview for you with the amazing Philip Permit. He's the author of the Crystal Healer series of books, an amazing mentor and friend, and I just can't get enough of picking his brain about all things having to do with crystals. So I'm really excited because we actually got to meet up in person at the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show this year. And when we were filming this interview, we actually filmed it as a video. So we took the little house that we were renting out in Tucson and converted a corner of it into a video studio. And some of you probably saw the video that I showed a few weeks back with Heather Askenozy of Energy Muse. And this is kind of the same thing. We met up at the Tucson show and Philip brought some of his favorite crystals that he always brings with him while he's traveling. And we just talked about those and why he decides to connect with those particular crystals, what makes him feel like they're the ones that you should never leave home without. So I'll get to that in just a little bit. But before we get started, I would like to answer a few of our listener questions. So we have a new segment here on the podcast called Ask Me Anything. And this is something that we've just started doing and we've already gotten a few questions in. So if you'd like to submit your own questions, you can do so anytime at loveandlightschool.com/ask. And this will give you the chance to have your question answered right here on the podcast or maybe even over on Facebook Live. So I want to address a question that came in from a user named Moonshine. And Moonshine asked quite a few really good questions, so I'm just going to pick one out for today. And Moonshine asks, is there a crystal to boost libido during menopause? So this is definitely something that can happen during menopause. Sex drive can slow down a little bit, but there are a few crystals that are known for increasing passion. So Moonshine, if you're listening, you might want to try working with something like smoky quartz, ruby zoisite, or pink spinel. These are all known for increasing passion. And ruby on its own, I think, is a really, really good one to work with as well, instead of just the ruby zoisite. You can try carrying these in your pocket or in your handbag to bring a little bit more passion into your day-to-day life, into your relationship, or place some on your bedside table. It's a great place to have them handy and be just absorbing that energy. So I hope that's helpful. It's our very first Ask Me Anything segment. So if you have your own question that you'd like to submit, again, remember you can do that at loveandlightschool.com/ask. And this can be any questions that you have that you'd like me to answer about crystals, spirituality, heart-centered business, maybe something you're too embarrassed to ask somewhere else, or even just something you want to know about me or my team. I'm always happy to answer anything that you'd like to know about. So again, that's loveandlightschool.com/ask, and you can submit your questions there. But now it's time to dive into our main topic, that amazing interview with Philip Permit. And this is like the one rainy day we had while we were at the Tucson Gem Show. And we were in this really great little house that had these beautiful skylights, which was perfect on all of our sunny days. But it did make capturing our audio for the video just a little bit difficult because there was kind of an echo. And then we had that noise coming in from the rain on the sunroof. So although this is not the best quality audio, and I apologize for that, I think that the things that Philip has to share are so, so important that I still wanted to turn this into a podcast episode. Now, if it would be helpful for you to actually see what's going on while he and I are chatting, you're welcome to pop over to loveandlightschool.com/blog for the video version. So you can actually see some of the crystals that he's talking about, his specific crystals that he's showing, and just check out everything that we're talking about. And it might even be a little bit helpful if you can do a little bit of lip reading for some of the areas of audio that are a little bit harder to understand because of that rain. And we'll also have a transcript available as well as part of the blog post, so you can check out anything that you may not have caught on our audio podcast. So without further ado, I'm going to turn things over to our interview.
Hello and welcome, crystal lovers. Today I am interviewing the amazing Philip Permit, of course, the crystal healer, as many of you know him by. I, of course, am Ashley Levy of the Love and Light School of Crystal Therapy. And Philip, I am so excited to be here at the Tucson Gem Show with you.
It's absolutely lovely. I love it every year.
Yeah, it's a great experience. And you've brought some things to share with us that I'm really excited about. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about a special stone that you've found that kind of works a little differently than most crystals.
Yes, this is...
Thank you.
This is, it's known as the Doctor's Stone, but it's technically black botryoidal banded agate. Black banded botryoidal agate. Botryoidal banded agate.
All of those things, right?
Yeah, any. It comes from a place called Medicine Bow in Wyoming, which is a sacred Native American site. And it's literally given up by the earth. So it comes from the swamp land, and the swamps just dry out in the summer, just for a few months. And they go and they literally collect them. So they take them all, and they use them in their own ceremonies, and sacred ceremonies, and for healing. And the most amazing thing, one of the reasons why it's called the Doctor's Stone, is because it affects everyone differently.
Okay.
So everyone, I know that we were playing around with it just before, and you were holding it, and it went to your feet.
My feet.
And your throat.
And my throat.
Yeah. And for me, it doesn't. For me, it just goes around my stomach. And today my shoulders, which is probably to do with whatever I was carrying yesterday.
Yeah.
It's one of the problems with Tucson, isn't it?
Yes, yes, always. So these stones are kind of born of the earth in this swamp environment, and they rise to the surface.
Yeah.
And people go and collect just what's there.
Just what's on the surface. There's no digging.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, if you want to talk about ethically mined crystals, these couldn't even be called mined. They could be called collected.
Yeah, found.
Found, yeah. And they have such a beautiful appearance. If you're familiar with botrytidal hematite, they almost remind me a little of that in appearance because of the color and formation, but they're so lightweight because of the agate material itself. And they just have this way of, when you hold them, feeling... I just feel this soothing, comforting warmth in those areas of my body that need that. And just holding it here, just for a few moments, I feel so calm and centered and positive.
And I've done this with literally hundreds of people who've held stone, and everyone just feels it where they need it. And it doesn't matter if it's something that's physical, especially physical, it just picks out those physical things. If you've got an old injury or something, it just goes straight to it. It's those weak spots. You know the phrase, stress goes to the weakest part of the body?
Yes.
And it's those spots it just picks out without being stressed.
Yeah.
So even if you're not thinking about it, it doesn't hurt, doesn't ache, it'll just find them and work on those areas. And it just releases that stress, and it's wonderful. But also for emotional stress, anything at all. It really is unique in that way.
Would you say that this would be a good stone for people to work with who perhaps have a difficult time feeling crystal energy? Because this comes through so clearly.
Yeah. I think one of the problems some people have is knowing, is recognizing what they're feeling.
Yes.
So it's not whether they feel it or not, it's just recognizing that they do feel something. And that can be difficult when you start working with crystals, because it's just a different type of energy, and it's not something most people are used to on a day-to-day way. And because these just go for that spot that you do feel, you recognize it. And it doesn't matter what you call it or how you describe it, because everyone describes it differently. I like the example, actually, that if you took, if you gave everyone a crystal in their right hand to hold, half the people would say that their right hand felt something, and then the other half would say that their left hand.
Very true.
It's that sort of balance in what's out of kilter. And it's a bit like if you took a sample of people for an opinion poll, and you took whatever it is they do these days. I think in the UK it's sort of 2004 people you take and they ask them a question. And you get everyone to put their right hand into a bowl of warm water. And half the people say their right hand's warm. The other hand, half will say their left hand's cold. But actually, they're all wrong. Their right hand's wet and their left hand's dry. So how we actually describe what we're feeling is irrelevant, and it's totally unique to each person. And I think what happens is our brain sort of goes, oh, this, I'm in a homeless person, this feels a little bit like when I was a kid and I got a little bit too close to the fire and, oh, it's hot.
Yeah.
And the brain's doing that and trying to explain what this totally new, unique feeling that you're feeling actually means.
And that's interesting because in a lot of ways, the way that crystals work, we don't need the conscious understanding of exactly what's taking place, especially with a stone like the Doctor Stone that's just doing the work that it needs to do. And this is just, it's so lovely. And I mean, obviously you would consider this to be relatively rare.
Uncommon. Very rare. Yeah, rarer than diamonds.
Yeah, because there are only so many that are birthed each year. But luckily for everyone watching, you'll have this available for sale on your website.
I will do by the time we get back.
Lovely. So, of course, thecrystalhealer.co.uk is where you'll be able to find this. And you've brought some other things today that I'm really excited to see. This is amazing. This has been one of my, like, highlights of my trip to actually get to hold this because we chatted about it in a previous interview. But you've brought some of your favorite personal crystals.
That's for,
awesome. Oh, well, thank you. You've brought some of your favorite personal crystals for travel.
Okay, yes, these are sort of the traveling collection that I come with. And some of them are with me the whole time, and some specifically ones to come with on this trip.
Okay.
So there's a difference between them. So there are a few, like this guy here. I don't know how close you can get to a close up.
Let's see.
So it's actually a skull carved from tourmaline by the amazing the best carvers in Brazil.
And if you can, you know, imagine, this is just, an average size green tourmaline crystal, but it has been so delicately carved into a little skull.
The detail's so amazing.
With little teeth and all.
Yeah. And also growing out of a quartz crystal.
Just at the end there. And what is it that you to work with?
Tourmaline basically is my go-to crystal for protection.
Yeah.
So, does lots and lots of other things, but for protection really is my number one go-to crystal. And just the idea that this guy is the skull and the energy from the skull, and the protective idea of the skull. And also the Buddhist idea of non-attachment and just, we are just basically a skull or a skeleton.
Yeah.
And the rest is just resin.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, he's always there. And the other one who always comes with when I travel is this guy who's actually a piece of turquoise. And he comes from Whitewater Mine, which is almost in America.
Yeah, or just
about. Yeah. So Whitewater Mine is an amazing place because it's on the border of Mexico and the US. And the entrance is in Mexico, but quite a lot of mine is actually under.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, so it is actually the same typical Navajo turquoise, basically, but half the price, don't tell everyone.
And what's really great about this stone is you find so much stabilized turquoise, and so a lot of what comes out of the American Southwest is still in its very natural state.
Absolutely, yes. And this is just literally tumbled. The thing about turquoise is it's also protective, specifically protective for travellers. And the American Indians like to use it, the idea of the connection to the blue road. So you've got the blue road up here and the red road, which is what we're walking on. And blue road is sort of your spiritual path. There's protection very, very much on that level.
And I love that.
And the other one, just last one protection, is this cute little double terminated smoky quartz crystal. And smoky quartz is a really useful crystal because, the people are around, some people don't feel kindly to you all of the time, and there are some jealous people, some unkind people, whatever. And smoky quartz crystals have the ability to send stuff back to where they come from. So if someone's sending you things like love and light and beautiful thoughts, then you pick that up and you send it back to them.
If not. So that you're telling me that's the crystal to have around while I'm driving in this Tucson traffic.
Absolutely.
And what are a few of your other stones that you like to bring with when you are...
This guy comes everywhere all the time. So this is a Colombian Lurian blade of light crystal. And it's a laser crystal as well. It's small, really, really powerful. So you can act as a mini master crystal. When you're traveling and you carry crystals, you find that you just carry more crystals. And when you come to Tucson, you get more and more crystals. It's nice and small.
Yeah.
And fits in the pocket, so it comes the whole time. And he'll just go in the pocket, bra, whatever, and just keep him 24/7.
But really packs a punch. You still have that energy of the Lemurian seed, miniature.
Yeah.
Travel size.
And also, a lot of these crystals can get put into crystal grids for various things. So every night I create a crystal grid from them, and so it's there either to be part of the grid or to activate.
When you work with grids, do you typically find that you use some sacred geometry shapes for the base? Or when you're traveling, do you just create them a little more freeform?
Very freeform when I'm traveling, yeah. So I take as little as possible with me.
Love that. But
when you've got space, and you're at home, or in your own space, and you can set, especially if you're setting something up and it's going to stay there for a while, then using your sacred geometry is brilliant. The flowered light, but I love it.
But it just goes to show, even if you only have a few crystals, you can still create a really amazing grid.
Absolutely, yeah. And then we've got things of selecting your different amethysts. These are interesting because you've got two chevron amethysts, two banded amethysts. They look slightly different because this one's from Zaire, this one is from South Africa.
So you have the really darker purple, almost the black amethyst quality.
So they're calling this... amethyst zebra stone.
Oh, wow.
Because
okay.
You get that really, really distinct banding. Like zebra. Whereas the other one, so I've picked out a particularly good chevron amethyst.
Of course.
But you can still see that there's a difference in colour and it gets much paler.
It's a little softer,
And again, small crystals the whole time when you're travelling. You don't have to, but it's great. Several citrines. So we've got three citrines here. This one is for my gut, which is a great thing when you're traveling and you're always eating different food. We have a thing with water as well, because I don't know if you have different water in different parts of the States.
Oh, always, yeah.
Right, okay, so we do, because in the UK we've got treated water, which is treated differently to the rest of Europe. And so when we travel, if you drink local water, even though it's okay and it's not going to kill you or anything, it's just the minerals in it are different and can really upset the stomach.
Absolutely, here too, yeah.
So, and it's not just water because, of course, you can drink bottled water instead, but everything's washed in water, so the salads and stuff and everything, so you're going to pick it up as you go around, so that just helps with that. This one, I like that. Look at it carefully.
Wow.
Some manifestation crystals and crystal growing straight up the middle of the bottom of the crystal.
This is absolutely stunning. So a manifestation, like Philip described, is when there's a smaller crystal growing within a larger crystal. You might mistake it almost for a phantom, but it's you can see from the bottom of this one, if you're looking straight up the along the C-axis of the crystal, you can see the interior crystal growing in there. It's distinctly different.
So one of my problems with what's described as manifestation crystals is I come from the roots of old school. So manifestation crystals, either a crystal growing straight up through another crystal or completely enclosed, so it's floating. And lots of people describe manifestation crystals as other things, which are probably bridge crystals or interference crystals.
Exactly.
And that's just because these are so rare. And unfortunately, people try to sell things when they're asked for them, rather than what they've actually got.
So, true.
If you're going for a manifestation crystal, take your time and find someone who can actually provide you with a proper manifestation crystal, or at least say, you know, I haven't got one, but this is what you're looking for.
Yes, because they are very rare.
Yeah.
And to find one in the citrine is
very rare.
Good job.
And this is the other one, which is another natural citrine. And this one's actually a creativity stone, so it's been battered around a bit. But whenever I do anything creative, it's my travelling one. It's there. So I've got another one, which I think we talked about on one of the other interviews we've done, which is much bigger, sort of hand-sized one, which is faceted. And that's actually one of my books as well, Sacred Stones and Crystals. Mm-hmm. And this one's just a smaller version from exactly the same place, just tumbled rather than faceted.
So you can still have that connection to that creative energy.
Yeah.
I love that. And of course, while you're curating all these crystals to bring back with you and share with all of your customers, you need that good creative inspiration.
Yeah.
Love that.
I'm just going to mention turquoise, but I'm going to talk about hematite and turquoise together.
Oh.
Because that is the go-to for jet lag.
Oh, all right. That's a good tip.
Now, we have this problem coming, going home actually from here. Coming here is not too bad because we come here, we arrive at 10 o'clock at night, it's 5 o'clock in the morning for us, we're exhausted, we go to sleep, we wake up, and it's in the morning.
Right.
More or less. Going back though, you get back in the middle of the morning, and it's earlier in the morning. So, it's just really, really good for jet lag.
So, for a few days, maybe just keep those with you until you readjust. Perfect. And that's an exquisite carnelian.
It is. But carnelian go-to for colds and flu and bugs and all of those things. And unfortunately in Tucson there's this thing called the Tucson bug that goes around. And it's different every year. And most of the time, most people don't get it. But when you do get it, it's really, really bad. And that's just because there are so many people here from all over the world. And not only is there every type of crystal, there's every type of bug.
True. I got it 2 years ago, and it was not pretty.
Yeah.
I think the second day I got quite ill, and it made the whole rest of the trip very hard.
Yeah.
So if you have any time when you're traveling, this would be a good one.
Yeah.
How do you like to work with the stones?
It's just keep it with you, carry it with you 24/7.
Emerald, malachite.
Emeralds go to one for the heart center.
Oh, perfect.
So. That's good. And also the other thing that you pick up in Tucson a lot from the desert dust is just the whole chesty thing.
Yes.
And the throat. So emerald's really good for that. And it also links in with the heart center of love and sharing that. And it's perhaps the idea of trying, how hard it is sometimes to keep an open heart the whole time.
when we're tired and our feet hurt and we're a little crabby, right? Yeah.
And it's just being cut up by a truck.
Yes.
And malachite. Malachite, I always carry a small bit with me, and it's really a go-to stone for sleep.
Oh, wonderful.
So again, you're in strange rooms, different beds, no matter how good you feel, sometimes it's just awkward, there are different sounds, different lights outside and inside and whatever else. It's just different.
Yeah.
And so it just helps.
That's a really good tip. That's something I definitely struggle with every time I have to sleep somewhere new. Because it's just not home, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we were talking about something before we actually started our interview, which is so interesting, and I actually saw some of this a few days ago and thought it was mislabeled, but Philip has educated me on this crystal.
So it looks like tourmalated quartz. Get it close to the camera. But of course, that very phrase, it looks like, suggests it's not.
Correct. So tell us, what is it, in fact? Because that was definitely my first guess.
It's black rutile. So it's black rutilated quartz.
And it looks almost identical.
Yeah, until you hold it up to the light, you get just the right light on it, and then you do get that glimmer, that sort of golden sheen glimmer.
Just on the surface, like a little iridescence almost.
Yeah. And these, I found, they're really, really good for tendons. So when I was unpacking the 2 or 3 crystals of all last year.
Just a couple.
My arm went and the tendons went in the wrist, both sides, the elbow, around the elbow, the shoulder. And doctors gave me some painkillers and wanted me to take some steroids, didn't like that idea. And for some reason, I was just drawn to this because I bought it but never come across it before. And it just really said, try me. And I did. I take them all over to every single tendon that was hurting. And it stopped hurting. And it didn't take away at all instantly. but it did almost instantly become a used alarm again, which is really good. And crystals do this magnificent thing that whenever you need them, they're there.
True.
And if you listen, then they'll tell you what to do.
And that's the thing. So I think so many people second guess themselves about, well, but I've never read that in a book before. It doesn't say I can use that crystal for that. I mean, what would be your advice about that to people?
Go for it.
Go for it, yeah.
Don't listen to me. Don't listen to her. No, that's seriously. Right. Okay, so you pick up two different crystal books by different authors, and they say different things about the same crystal.
Yeah.
And that's right. They should do. Because hopefully everyone's writing, we're all writing from our own experience.
Exactly.
And we're writing about our experience with crystals, and we're writing about our clients and our students and their experiences, and that's it. And if we read something that someone else has written, we might think, oh, I've never found that black crystal. But it doesn't mean to say it's wrong.
Right.
It's just a different way. And one of the things actually is citrine I use in my classes as an example. Because citrine basically works on the cells in the gut that absorb nutrients. That's it. That's all it does. But because of that, it's good for weight loss.
Yes.
It's good for weight gain if you need to gain weight after an operation or an illness or something. Because it's always that balance. So it's not a crystal for weight loss. It's a crystal for you to be the best weight for you.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a size zero or whatever.
Exactly.
Because it's very personal to each individual. Because you're absorbing more nutrients, you've got more nutrients going around your body. So it's good for any physical healing, from a bruise to recovery from major surgery. Just more nutrients going around your body. Because there's more nutrients going around your body, your blood is just carrying everything easier, so your heart doesn't have to work as hard to get it round. So it's good for your heart. Because your heart doesn't work as hard to get it round, your heart's working better. So when you need more oxygen to your brain, you've got loads there and your heart's ready to pump it, but more oxygen to your brain, so it's good for logical thoughts, good for creativity. It just goes on and on and on and on. So if you say something that citrine's good for something, I'm just going to say yes. You found it. Yeah, great.
And that's true, because working with crystals is so subjective.
Yeah.
And each of us is going to have that different experience, and there really is no right or wrong. There's only just being aware.
Yeah.
Well, Philip, thank you so much. And to all of you watching, of course, you can find Philip at thecrystalhealer.co.uk. Make sure you go find one of those amazing doctor stones before they're all snapped up. But thank you so much for being here with us today. And thank all of you for watching. Crystal blessings.
Well, that is it for my interview with Philip Permit, author of the Crystal Healer series of books. I hope that you really got a lot of value out of that interview. I hope that you hung in there even through the little bit of rain and difficult audio we had. If you want more information about anything I discussed in this episode or to check out the video version of this interview, you can do so over on the website at loveandlightschool.com/blog. And if you did enjoy the show today, of course, the biggest compliment you can give me is to leave a quick rating and review over at loveandlightschool.com/iTunes. And of course, while you're there, you can subscribe through that link as well so you never miss a future episode. And if you do decide to take just a minute to leave me a review, I'll give you our Crystal Chakra Healing step-by-step class as a free gift. So once you've posted your review, and this goes for new reviews or past reviewers, just take a quick screenshot of your review in iTunes and send it to me at support@loveandlighthealingschool.com, and we'll get your free class set up and reply back with details about how you can get started. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Love and Light Live podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Levy, and I'll be back with you in our next episode. Until then, crystal blessings. The Love and Light Live podcast is a production of the Love and Light School of Crystal Therapy. Visit us online at loveandlightschool.com.